Hello and welcome to another episode of our Vimiac's Mental Health Week podcast, where this week we're looking at consumer contributions to community. I am here with Hope, and we're going to be talking about her experience of community and her interactions. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
No, of course, we're very excited. So we put a call out for people, and you're one of the people who got in touch with us because you have an interesting experience of community, and we want to sort of look at that today. So, do you want to talk about the sort of communities you're a part of?
Well, I've been doing community work for years, years and years, but it kind of changed in the last 5 years. After I suppose I found my voice speaking up on child sexual abuse and mental illness and advocating for that sort of thing. So prior to that, I was working on the soup bus. I was doing community garden with my child's school, sort of things like that, and was fairly low key. And excuse me, more recently, I've been doing things like working within the community on the community newsletter that we've got and helping write stories on mental illness and delivering the newsletter. I've also been a part of the Ballarat Suicide Prevention. This is really long to say.
No,
Ballarat
no.
Suicide Prevention place-based trial as a lived experience consumer. So that's been really rewarding and exciting with other community members, other lived experience and community organisations. That's been quite a long process and I've really enjoyed that.
That's,
I've
yeah.
been doing Voice for Change all last year, which involved training as a community public speaker on mental health and my story. And we went around to organisations for a year with a community health organisation and publicly spoke with, there were quite a few speakers and they all had their own stories. And my story was largely regarding mental health and my childhood trauma and how it impacted me with my mental health.
It's interesting because there's quite a breadth and depth of different experiences, different communities, different perspectives you've been bringing to your sort of work, and that's really interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess I found, so I live in Ballarat, which is an area that is, I suppose the time I started doing all this was also the time that the Royal Commission for Childhood Sexual Institutional Sexual Abuse came to Ballarat. And I noticed that it was quite interlinked with childhood trauma is really interlinked with mental illness in some cases. So I guess it was all interlinked really for me. And I just found I really wanted to find my voice and advocate for others as well.
So that's actually a really good point you bring up there, because a lot of people look at reaching out and getting involved in a community and they don't know what's the best community to get involved into or what's the best perspective. But from what it's saying, there seems to be everything seems to be interconnected. There's a lot of aspects of yourself and everything can connect, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, we also in regards to the Royal, after going through the Royal Commission into childhood sexual abuse, it was straight afterwards we pretty much went into the Mental Health Royal Commission. And I found that doing a submission for that was, I felt like I sort of felt like I was getting a voice, probably not in the same way. It wasn't as, I don't think I felt like I was as heard. But then there was the opportunity to speak with other lived experience consumers on panels through Vimiac and through the Royal Commission directly. So that was quite empowering as well, I think. And, you know, there was, I met fantastic other lived experience consumers. It was just a really empowering experience.
So it's really interesting. This seems to be you're talking about there's like, there's important to hearing your voice heard, but there's also an importance in connecting with others, which can be a strength of community. There's your role and the connection with other people.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it really reduces stigma and normalises something that for so long we've had to fight against normalising, you know. I mean, what is normal anyway, really? I've always said that, but I don't think I've ever met anyone, in inverted commas, that is normal. But I just think meeting other people who have similar experiences with the mental health system is really empowering. It just makes you feel validated with your story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good to hear. It's encouraging. It's supportive. It's just something that it was important to me, but there's so many others out there that are doing really amazing work. So I found that getting involved in that way was really such a rewarding experience for me.
Yeah. And so you said there's a real reward in sort of that connection. Do you feel like you bring that to people as well? Like you, as a member of this community, play a part in that? Like, what would you say your part of is, sorry, how would you say you play a part in creating those connections and creating those sense of normalizing?
Well, I hope to, because I hope that by telling my story through Voices for Change, which was last year, and I've spoken in the media anonymously a few times, and I have to basically speak anonymously because my story was it's quite hard to explain, but basically I had a perpetrator that I reported to the police from my childhood, mm-hmm. that was within a psychiatric institution, and it went to court. It was quite high profile, and the perpetrator got a guilty, but then appealed the case and was let off on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So that effectively silences me from being able to say who I am, what occurred, all the details. But what I do speak about is that there are hundreds and thousands of victims of sexual abuse who either don't speak, don't get a guilty, there's not enough evidence for a brief to go to court, and they're in exactly the same position as me. I guess years later, and going through their lives with eating disorders, with mental health disorders, whereby their childhood trauma has caused a lot of problems in their adulthood, and they feel like they don't have a voice. And I wanted the public to understand that when you come across somebody who has addictions and eating disorders and mental health issues, that it comes from, often can come from a place of trauma. And I wanted them to have a bit of empathy for that. So through telling my story, and in almost all cases, they have either known somebody who has been through a similar situation or they're going through it themselves. And we went to universities, schools, hospitals, community centres, and spoke to the community on quite a wide basis. And there was talk of suicide prevention in there as well.
Yeah.
And they could all really connect with someone that they had known. And that I think it brought about the community the chance for them to then speak to other people on how to start a conversation, on how to support others, and brought about a bit of understanding. So I hope to have helped in that way.
No, it sounds like from what you've talked about, it sounds like you definitely have. And it seems to, there's something I want to kind of highlight a bit there, is that you're talking about empathy being so important, that there is lived experience. There is, having that lived experience can be a way of connecting with people and understanding their behaviors, their actions, the way they are themselves. And that's something you find quite important in your work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not to judge people from where they've come from and that the journey that they've taken. I saw it a lot recently with the COVID and people having to access Centrelink. There was a lot of judgment for and a lot of comments about Centrelink, and people had been using these systems for years, and all of a sudden it was important to people who'd never had to use it. And
right.
I think they started to bring about a little bit of empathy for people who've had to use it for years, but until they experienced it, they never had that. And it would be really good if people didn't have to go through the experience to actually get the empathy, if they could actually, just look at other people's stories and realise that everybody's walking a different path.
That's also a great point. So it's not that everyone needs these traumas and these experiences to understand, it's just, there is, you don't need that to have empathy, but it can, for some people, that is important.
Exactly. Yeah.
Something I, if you don't mind, I'd love to get a bit of talk about is, you talk about using pseudonyms in a lot of your stuff. And I know for some people, in the, when they're looking at getting involved with a community, having their identity and their self out there can be difficult. And so you're saying there is a strength in using pseudonyms to not always have your quote unquote real identity out there, to have some sort of protective barrier there.
Yeah, I think so. Look, I'm in a fairly small town. So
yeah.
when I would go to places and talk in public, and some of the other work, which was just sort of once a year, one-off things that we would do is, I'm fairly heavily into yoga. I'm not a yoga teacher, not by any means. I'm just a participant who's participated for about 13 years fairly heavily into yoga. And so I know a lot of yoga teachers, and one of my good friends took up a yoga trauma course. And each year in Mental Health Week, she does free yoga classes during Mental Health Week and gets me to come along and do a talk on them, on how it's helped me. And I suppose it goes in the media, and I just think, oh, a little bit hesitant to use my real name because it's telling a part of my story. But when I actually go out and speak to people in real life, I do use my real name.
Yeah.
I just have to be really careful about my legal story, I suppose. And for people like me, I mean, we've just had a law reform where people who do get a guilty verdict with sexual abuse cases and childhood cases, they're actually silenced anyway now. This is recently. They're silenced. They can't use their name. They'll have to go to court to get a court order to change that and pay around $10,000 to get this. When that's changed, for me, that will make no difference because my perpetrator did get a guilty, and then it was it's called an appeal upheld. So basically, yeah, they say there's not enough evidence to say whether it did or didn't happen. We can't prove it beyond reasonable doubt. And for people like that, we just essentially need to be mindful that we can never use the person's name, their gender, anything to identify them. So essentially I have to protect my perpetrator or I can be, which is a really bad way to be in.
Oh, of course.
But I guess I just use a pseudonym for that reason.
No, that's good. So one thing I do want to talk about as well, touch on, is because we've talked a lot about your sort of more mental health specific work, the stuff you've done, but you also did talk a lot there about yoga. So you are quite involved in the yoga with yoga as a community, is that correct?
What I found was when I was at my lowest point mentally and really struggling with anxiety, and part of my history is eating disorders as well, is that yoga was really the only thing that, it was a place in the community that I felt connected and welcome and accepted. It didn't matter what I looked like, how much weight I lost, how I presented. I was just accepted by everybody. I didn't have to speak. It was I went through a really difficult time 5 years ago when going through that court case and lost a lot of weight very quickly. And it was just really the one thing that I could go to every second day, and it just kept me on an even keel. It's something that I now use in my home practice that just keeps me really stable. That and mindfulness have been really good for me. So the yoga community were very accepting. The teachers were fantastic. I just found the people that went were very like-minded to myself and just really kind people.
That's brilliant. And it's great to talk about those because, you know, we talk about, I know I work in this mental health space, and we talk a lot about how, you know, the work we do, the not-for-profits, the charities, the mental health services, but there is stuff, and I know yoga is still very connected to the mental, into the mental well-being, but there is stuff outside of those not-for-profits and specific mental health services that we can get engaged with, we can connect to, and it has a, you know, a benefit for us and connection, which is great that you talk so passionately about that.
Yeah, I found it really good. I mean, the person that ran the yoga studio that I was connected to, she became a really good friend. And when I was at my worst and did have to be at times admitted to hospital, she visited me and she was just incredibly supportive. I know at one stage I was admitted and I didn't have my yoga mat, and she just bought me a yoga mat in, and I was just... And I know there was another time I had a hospital stay, and the plan was for ECT, medication change, all this stuff. And I ended up just coming off medication and doing intensive yoga, and I actually got better. So I needed time away. It just, you know, depends with me what I need. But yoga's always been a massive part of an exercise of my remaining stable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's big for me.
And it's great to hear you talk about sort of the friends you have through that and how they've supported you for your mental health challenges. Yeah. So that's great to hear as well. Well, I think that's all we really have time for. Was there anything else you wanted to elaborate on or talk about as part of your connections with community or other points we haven't touched on yet?
I think that's probably it. Really? There are other things that I've done, but that's probably it. So, yeah.
Got the good cliff notes. It's great talking to you. And thank you so much for being involved with this and being involved with these conversations for Mental Health Week. We really feel like, you know, these sort of perspectives and lived experiences can really help people find ways to connect when, especially right now when they may be struggling. So thank you so much.
That's okay. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Thank you.